Hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. 3,500-year-old artifacts are unearthed in Vietnam. Language might have evolved from gestures, so a new study shows. Elaborate stone tools are found at a Chinese site. And the American wood henge raises interest in the ritual past. 2,500-year-old tomb is discovered in China. And modern man, Neanderthals may have seen them as kindred spirits. Still with the Neanderthals, was climate change anything to do with their extinction? And in Kentucky, an ancient burial site is found in a development site. Finally, how about this for a bit of saucy study? It turns out that prehistoric man had sex for fun. Stone tools and pottery that are believed to be over 3,500 years old have been unearthed in Van Don district in the northern province of Vietnam. The small 10-square-metre site was discovered by a group of workers when they were restoring the Dong Thong Cave, a famous tourist site. Archaeologists said the early indications pointed to the artefacts coming from the late Ha Long culture, people that lived in the area over 3,500 years ago. I actually wish they told us in that news report what the artefacts were, but for more info on this culture, go to www.southeastasianarchaeology.com and search for Ha Long. Lots of interesting articles and images can be found there. Researchers are speculating on how pre-human species developed the capacity for complex language. One theory suggests that human ape-like ancestors first communicated through gestures. Once the neural circuits for gesture-based language had evolved, those same brain areas could be switched over to verbal communication. Indeed, research has shown that modern apes are using the same area of the brain to interpret hand signals as humans use to process spoken language. Researchers working at the Yerkes National Primate Research Center in Atlanta observed communications amongst 34 captive chimpanzees and 13 bonobos, also known as pygmy chimpanzees. They logged every hand gesture, every facial expression and vocal cry that one animal directed at another. They also noted the social context, the playing, grooming, fighting, sex, eating and so on, which each signal occurred. They found that individual facial expressions and vocalizations were closely tied to a single context, showing little flexibility in meaning or usage, but the apes could use the same hand gesture in multiple contexts. For example, reaching out with an upturned palm while eating appeared to be a request for more food, while in a fighting situation, the same gesture signaled a desire for support. Susan Golden Meadow, who studies human gesture and language at the University of Chicago, commented that this is the best kind of evidence for how language may have evolved. Fossils reveal nothing about how people's distant ancestors communicated, so scientists can infer the past only by looking at modern humans and other primates. Scientists, however, still don't agree on how gestures influence the evolution of language. For example, Golden Meadow suggests that hand motions could have developed in parallel with vocal sounds rather than coming first. I have to confess I know quite a few archaeologists who are only able to communicate in hand gestures, especially after a Saturday night. Chinese archaeologists say they have uncovered strong evidence that Stone Age people in southern East Asia were at least as technologically advanced as their European cousins, challenging the long-standing theory of two cultures. Excavations at the Dahe Stone Age site in southwest China's Yunnan province had revealed elaborate stone tools and instruments that rivaled those of the Mousterian culture that existed at the same time in Europe. Dated at 36 to 44,000 years old, the site has yielded cores including Levallois-type tortoise shell and cylindrical blade cores, as well as semicircular scrapers, end scrapers, denticulated blades, Mousterian-type points and beak-shaped stones. Technologically, they were very similar to European Mousterian cultures, which was characterized by flint-flake tools dating from 70 to 32,000 BCE. This may suggest that the theory of two cultures is not as accurate and complete as previously thought. More than 60 years ago, Harvard University professor Hallam Movius advanced a theory that divided the Stone Age world into two technological levels. The theory held that Western Eurasia and Africa had produced the advanced technology of percussion flaking, while the East Asia cultures were comparatively backward, having only developed simple choppers. However, it looks more like we'll have to be all one people again. During a remote sensing survey at the Fort Ancient Earthworks in 2005, Jared Burks of Ohio Valley Archaeological Consultants discovered a circular pattern in the ground that was nearly 60 metres in diameter. Fort Ancient is a massive earthwork in Warren County, Ohio, in the USA, that was built more than 2,000 years ago by the Hopewell culture. Robert Reardon, an anthropology professor at Wright State University, directed excavations there in 2006 and last month completed a report on his initial explorations of the circles. Dubbed the Moorhead Circle by Reardon in honour of pioneering archaeologist Warren Moorhead, the area was a wood henge, defined by a double ring of posts. The outer ring consists of large posts about 9 inches in diameter, set about 30 inches apart in trenches filled with rock. The inner ring had similar-sized posts set about 15 feet inside the outer ring. Reardon estimates that the outer ring would have held more than 200 posts, each 10 to 15 feet high. Inner posts were likely shorter. At the centre of the circle was a pit, which was about 5 metres long by 4 metres wide, and filled with burned soil. The pit was ringed by a shallow trough in which large timbers of red oak had been burned. A radiocarbon date on charcoal from the remnant traces of a post suggests it was built between 40 and 130 CE. Burned timber fragments from the pit were dated to 250 CE to 420 CE. The different ages suggest to Reardon that a sequential ceremonial event took place. More information about the excavation of the Moorhead Circle can be found on the Ohio Historical Society's archaeology blog. That's www.ohio-archaeology.blogspot.com. It's at the moment the second article down, and very interesting it is too. Archaeologists have found a 2,500-year-old tomb in eastern China containing 40 coffins. The number of coffins found in the tomb in East China's Jiangxi province is unusual for that period, and experts are wondering why so many were buried together and who are buried in the coffins. The tomb is believed to date back to the Eastern Zhou dynasty, 770 to 221 BCE. A team of specialists will begin the delicate process of opening the coffin soon, as archaeologists began excavating the site in January to thwart grave robbers who had attempted to open up these rare coffins. The coffins were fortunately not damaged, but some cultural relics were removed from the site. Some were later recovered by local police, including bronze woodworking tools, lacquered spoons, and wooden combs. Once again, we can see the trade in antiquities rearing its ugly head. Researchers have long debated what happened when the indigenous Neanderthals of Europe met modern humans arriving from Africa about 40,000 years ago. The end result was the disappearance of Neanderthals, but what happened during the roughly 10,000 years that the two human species actually shared the land? A new review of the fossil record from that period has come up with a provocative conclusion. They see the two groups seeing each other as kindred spirits and, when conditions were right, mating. In his latest work published last week in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, Trinkaus of Washington University in St. Louis analysed prehistoric fossil remains from various parts of Europe. He concluded that a significant number have attributes associated with both Neanderthals and modern humans who replaced them. He believes there was continuous breeding between the two for some period of time. The conclusion, one of the strongest to date in this debate, remains controversial and has potential broad implications. It suggests, for instance, that humans today should still have Neanderthal genes. It also means that the unanswered question of why Neanderthals died out is even more puzzling, because under this scenario, they were quite capable of living successfully alongside the modern newcomers. Chris Stringer, a top paleontology researcher at the Natural History Museum in London, said the genetic evidence has kept him on the fence regarding Trinkhouse's theory of the more widespread interbreeding. He said Neanderthals and modern humans from Africa would be considered distinct Homo species, while making interbreeding less likely but not impossible. But one genetic trait of modern humans makes him doubt there was any major Neanderthal input: the fact that most humans today are genetically ill-adapted to the cold weather. Only some native Indian populations, as well as people in the north of Eurasia and Aborigines of Australia, have good genetic defences to cold. Since Neanderthals lived in Europe for hundreds of thousands of years, through ice ages and frigid conditions, they would have become genetically suited to such conditions. The fact that Europeans are not, adds Stringer, suggests that any Neanderthal contribution to their makeup is limited. Ah, so the debate rages on, and in fact in our next news article it continues. Climate and not modern humans was the cause for Neanderthal extinction in the Iberian Peninsula, such as the conclusion of the University of Granada research group headed by Professor Miguel Ortega Huertas, together with other scientists from the Gibraltar Museum, Stanford University, and the Japan Marine Science and Technology Center. During the last ice age, the Iberian Peninsula was the final refuge for the Neanderthals, who had survived in local pockets during previous ice ages, bouncing back to Europe when the weather conditions improved. The study is based on climate reconstructions from marine records and using the understanding of Spanish and international research groups on Western Mediterranean paleo-oceanography. The conclusions point out that Neanderthal populations did suffer fluctuations related to the climate changes before the first Homo sapiens arrived in the Iberian Peninsula. Cold, arid and highly variable climate with less favourable weather for Neanderthals, and 24,000 years ago they had to face the worst weather conditions they had ever faced in 250,000 years. So, will we ever get to the bottom of this Neanderthal debate? A burial site with the remains of at least 33 American Indians who probably lived around 3000 BCE has been unearthed at a construction site near Towhead Island in Kentucky. The remains, including three or four skulls with partly disintegrated skeletons, will be reburied at an appropriate site to be determined by the Army Corps of Engineers in consultation with representations of three tribes. Based on earlier work on the site, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Nation, the United Kitowa Band of the Cherokee Indians, and the Shawnee Tribe of Oklahoma entered into an agreement on the handling of any remains found on the site. And finally, new research into Stone Age humans has argued that, far from having intercourse simply to reproduce, they had sex for fun. Various sex practices were widespread in primitive societies as a way of building up cultural ties. According to the study, a 30,000-year-old statue of a naked woman, the Venus of Willendorf, and an equally ancient stone phallus found in a German cave provide the earliest direct evidence that sex was about far more than babies. Timothy Taylor, reader in archaeology at Bradford University, reviewed evidence from dozens of archaeological finds and scientific studies for his research. The widespread lay belief, and I do hope that there's no pun intended there, that sex in the past was predominantly heterosexual and reproductive, can be challenged. He argues that monogamy only became established as hunter-gatherer societies took up agriculture and settled in houses, allowing the social roles of men and women to become more fixed. Experts believe research such as Taylor's may help to overturn false assumptions that sex for the purposes of reproduction is the form closest to nature. Petra Boynton, a relationship counsellor and health lecturer at University College London, found the study refreshing. So much evolutionary theory promotes the idea that humans, particularly women, are pre-programmed for monogamy, that it is often simply overlaying science on a pre-existing view of society. Taylor, whose research is published by Haworth Press in the Handbook of the Evolution of Human Sexuality, says the human attitude to sex arose from the complex interaction of physical and mental development. By comparison with modern humans, apes have tiny male genitals and no female breasts and are hairy. But they are easily able to distinguish the sexes because males can weigh up to 3 times as much as the females. Humans, by contrast, are far less easy to distinguish by size. Taylor says that prominent male genitals and female breasts develop to aid recognition of the opposite sex in creatures of similar size and shape. The similarity in size, combined with the ease of face-to-face sex, allowed intercourse to become a vital part of social interaction, communication, and inventiveness. Well, now, I'm not meaning to be cheeky here, but if you can't tell the difference between a naked man or a woman, then I think we should get out more. And by the way, don't ever try that as an excuse. Sorry I'm late, dear. I was just socially interacting with her in an inventive way. Anyway, and seriously, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And just as seriously, remember that more can be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you return to us again next week.